Well, praise the Lord. Oh, so somebody eat too much or what? There was some good food back there. There's some leftover fried chicken. And I think Robbie ate more fried chicken this morning than he did last night. Pretty good stuff. Hey, God's good. Amen. Go with me, if you would, back to Isaiah, the 9th chapter. I read it this morning, but I wanted to just talk a little bit about it tonight, this afternoon, for just a few minutes, a couple of points here that we can make about Jesus. And that's what it's all about today, is Jesus. He's our Savior. He's our Lord, our soon-coming King. And that's what we're celebrating this time of year about is Jesus. And honestly, as Christians, we celebrate Jesus every day. Every day is about Jesus. And living a dedicated, crucified life for Him. Praise the Lord. I know we struggle with it, but that's our goal, is to live for Him. Let's read again verses 1 through 7, Isaiah the 9th chapter. Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation, when at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea, by beyond Jordan and Galilee of the nations. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Thou hast multiplied the nation and not increased the joy. They joy before thee according to the joy in harvest, and as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For thou hast broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise and garments rolled in blood, but this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Father, today, once again, we ask your anointing. Ask you, Lord, to be a part of this service. Holy Spirit, guide us just what to say and help us to receive all that you would have us receive in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. I want to just talk a little bit about two or three verses here. And it probably won't take too awful long. I wrote somebody the other day, I wrote something that's kind of trying to be funny, and I just put on there, I amused myself. I think I'm funny. Whether you do or not, I amused myself, so. So, all's good. The dimness, verse 1, it says, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation. The dimness. Isaiah is talking about a coming deliverer. A coming deliverer. Now, we know he's already come. We know he's here. He was here and he's gone. But this deliverer would one day lead people, God's people, to joy, to peace, righteousness, and judgment. We know that's what he's done. We've accepted him as our Lord and Savior, so what happened? We received his joy. We received peace of God that surpasses all understanding. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus today, and his justice rules supreme in our lives. We know that, and we've received that. They were looking forward to it, but Jesus came. And I'm glad he came, aren't you? I'm glad the light shone into the darkness. And in verse 2 says, the people walked in darkness, but they've seen a great light. They dwell and upon them in the land of the shadow of death, but upon them the light has shone. The light shone into our lives. You and I were people who were lost. And as lost people, we were in darkness. And one day, all of a sudden, for most of us, it was just all of a sudden, the light shone into our lives and revealed to us our need of a Savior. And because it shone into our lives and we saw our need for a Savior, we were quickened by the Holy Spirit of God and we repented of our sin. And that's where that light come. Behold, the light of God has shone into our lives. And Jesus is the light. Jesus is the light. I'm glad that this prophecy was fulfilled in such a time that I could become a born-again Christian. They didn't see it. They didn't receive it. They didn't get it. But we got it. And we get to experience it. I'm glad for that, aren't you? You know, we see here for the most part, Jesus ministered in Galilee. If he had just came to deliver those who were alive during his time, only the Galileans would have been saved. Only those that would come under his voice could have been saved. He had to die. He had to die, go to a grave, be rose again, ascend to the Father, fulfilling all of the righteousness of God, taking his blood to the throne room, splashing it on the mercy seat, so you and I now can be saved. I know it's unfathomable. I know it's unexplainable to us in our human minds, but God had a plan, and it was God's way. I'm glad that Jesus is the way. And I accepted him a long time ago. I'm not perfect in my flesh, but I am perfected in my spirit. My flesh still struggles. I still deal with it. But my spirit is perfected in the eyes of God. And that's because of Jesus Christ and him crucified. He brought peace to us by delivering us from the yoke of oppression and crushing every enemy. Our enemy is Satan. He has crushed him. He is under his feet. And he's under our feet if we allow him to be. If we let God be God in our lives. And he rules over us forever. He rules over his people. Verse 6 says, unto us a child is born. Unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. Is foretelling the birth of this Messiah, Jesus. His birth would not just be at a definite time and place. He would be born not only in a definite time, but in a unique way. And we see that he was born in that unique way. Verse 7, 14 says, therefore the Lord shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. What's that mean? It means God with us. He shall be called Emmanuel. A due depth of meaning to us is a personal Savior coming to the earth. God with us. God is with us. We're not God, but God is with us through His Spirit. Amen. He sent His only begotten Son. A child was born. He was born in a unique and marvelous way. And we look here in the next verse, the same verse, and it's very beautiful. It says it gives five names that would characterize his functions as his function as our Messiah. Five different names. It's Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. These five names, let's look at them. Wonderful. This Messiah within himself would be a supernatural wonder. The Hebrew word pele is used only of God and never of humans. He is this wonderful creation who's God. He is God in the flesh. He is a supernatural wonder. No one else has ever been conceived by the Holy Spirit. Everyone else has been conceived by a natural way, but only Jesus was supernaturally born, supernaturally conceived in the womb of Mary. And the Messiah, he shows his character by his deeds and his miracles. All through the New Testament, he has healed the sick, he's healed lepers, he's healed the lame, he's healed the blind, he healed the deaf, he healed those with issues of blood, he healed all manner of disease. And the Bible says that this book could not hold the volumes of the miracles that he performed while he was on the earth. We have just a very small picture of the miracles and the signs and the wonders that Jesus performed in his time on earth. This man walked on water. This man commanded a storm be still, and it was still. This man said, "Fish, get in the net," and the fish got in the net. This man walked through walls and transported himself to other places. He was still on earth when he did that. I know he had went back to the Father. He had been resurrected, but he just showed his deity. He's God. All kinds of wonders. Wonderful. And he's called a counselor. He's called counselor. I probably got past most of that. He was the incarnate of perfect wisdom. There wasn't a question he couldn't answer. There wasn't a problem he couldn't solve. You know what? I still believe there's not a question he can't answer and a problem he cannot solve. I don't understand why some questions go unanswered, and I don't understand why some problems go unsolved, but I still believe that he is the way, the truth, and the life. I still believe he's the problem solver. I still believe he's the healer. Still believe it today. I stand on that today. I've been healed by him. I'm no doubt will need healing again before this life is over. But he's still the healer. He's our counselor. He's full of wisdom. He has the words to eternal life. He disclosed the perfect plan of salvation. He not only disclosed it, he participated in it. And was and is the perfect plan of salvation. By no other man can a man, no other name can a man be saved except the name of Jesus. No other name under heaven or earth can save you. But I'll tell you this, ladies and gentlemen, every knee is going to bow and every tongue will confess one day that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. But he's right now giving us opportunity to make decision to change our life, to accept him as Lord, to repent of our sins. I'm glad for that. He is our counselor. He's the mighty God. He's the mighty God. He's God in bodily form. He told his disciples one time, "If you saw me, you saw God." He said, "I and the Father are the one and the same. You see me, you see God. I and the Father are the same." Then he said, another passage of scripture said, "I don't say anything other than what the Father tells me to say." He was that mighty God. He performed many miracles, many signs and wonders while he was here. You know his first miracle was turning water to wine, don't you? Water into wine. They was amazed at how good the wine was that he made just by speaking the word. He is our counselor. He is the mighty God. Look at Colossians 2:9. I'll look at it with you. Sister Mickey's not here, so I don't have to go quite so fast to beat her there. It says there, For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. He's our mighty God. And in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead. And in him... It's in him that we are what we are today. He is our everlasting Father. Scripture teaches us that we can approach God and cry out, "Abba," or "Father." That we are the sons and the daughters of God. Jesus is our everlasting Father. He would not only reveal the Heavenly Father, but he himself would act toward his people eternally as a compassionate Father. who loves us, who guards us, and supplies the needs of his people. Paul wrote this, "But my God shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." I stand on that quite often. I've prayed it a lot of times. "But my God shall supply all of my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." And guess what? My God has supplied all of my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. We need to learn to speak what the Word of God says. You're going through a trial today, but my God shall supply. You have lack in finance, but my God shall supply. He's our God. He's our mighty God. He's our everlasting Father. He's a compassionate Father. You know what, folks, you can't begin to see. The Bible says, "I have not seen, ear have not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those that love him." You can't begin to know how many times God has guarded you, protected you from something. How many times he's opened a door when it needed to be opened and shut one when it needed to be shut? How many times he's prevented a car accident might have been fatal? How many times a sickness was tried to invade your body and God said no? How many times someone wanted to do harm to you and God said, "It's not happening on my watch"? We don't know how many times. Yeah, you went through some things. Yes, you've suffered some things. Yeah, you went through some storms. But how many times has God not only protected you, but God brought you through what was allowed in your life? Job didn't get attacked by Satan because Satan had the authority. He got attacked by Satan because God gave him the authority for a small period of time. He couldn't have touched him otherwise. And he can't touch you otherwise. We are God's children. That's why I'd be afraid to walk out from under his protection if I was you. God's God. And then he's the Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace. His rule would bring peace and has brought peace with God for all humankind. Well, there's wars and rumors of war everywhere. Jesus said there would be, but the Christian has a peace. Was it Philippians' mother that says the peace of God that surpasses all understanding guards your heart and mind? He gives us peace. He's the Prince of Peace. You know, first and foremost, he delivered you from sin. That brought peace. Because when you were out in sin, you didn't have any peace. The Bible says, "There is no peace to the wicked, saith the Lord." That's what it says. And if it says it, then that's the way it is. They may look like they have peace. They may seem like everything's going their way. But it can't be without God. Because God declared that there's no peace besides him. And the only way to have real peace is through Jesus Christ. Candy Christmas sang a song that explained it very well. "The only real peace that I have, dear Lord, is in you. The only real peace I have, dear Lord, is in you. With all life's frustrations, I need you, and I know I do, because the only real peace that I have, dear Lord, is in you." Speaking of Candy Christmas, her mother died this past week. You think she's not leaning on the Lord today? She's leaning on him today. Just like we all have to when we go through those type of situations. I love that song. I love it. I say I love it. We sing it every once in a while. We used to sing a lot. "I lean on you, Lord. I lean on you. For the things that I need, I lean on you. For when I don't know what to do, I got the faith you'll see me through. I lean on you." I lean on the Lord. He's the Prince of Peace. He's all I need. We used to sing that song, and "He's all I need. He's all I need." So we used to sing it. And we meant it. We meant it. We'd sing that old song, "Here's my cup, Lord, I lift it up. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. A minute. Fill me up, Lord. He's our Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace who gives peace to us. Look at Romans 5:1. And I'm going to close pretty quick. Chapter 1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Then it goes on to say this, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of glory. Not only so, we glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, or hope does not disappoint, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which was given unto us when we were yet without strength. In due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely a righteous man would one die, peradventure for a good man. But this says that God commended his love toward us while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We've been justified. We have his peace in our lives today. So that's what God is to us. That's who Jesus is today. What a service we were having this morning. If a few more would have just let go, we would have had us a Holy Ghost hoedown. It was that close. That close to just having a Holy Ghost hoedown in here. Two or three people had their own little personal Pentecost. And there ain't nothing, I ain't making fun of that. I'm telling you, the rest of us should have got into that place. Because the Holy Spirit was moving. But this is what I wanted to say. This is who God is. Jesus is. He's called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. I'm glad for salvation today, aren't you? I'm glad that I've been set free. And whom the Son hath made free is free indeed. Amen. Amen. Free indeed today. And that's all right. Hold on just a minute. I just want to open the altar. This is Christmas time, but we got to start, talked about it Wednesday night. We got to start praying more. We're in the Bible teaches us to pray and look for Jesus coming so much more, even more as you see the day approaching. And to go to church even more as you see the day approaching. Well, Jesus is about to return. We need to stay ready. Don't you think? Amen. Stay ready. Let's have a season of prayer. Caleb, just turn on CD back there. I don't care. Well, I hope I don't care. I don't believe there's any Beatles stuff in there, so it'll be all right. But let's have a time of prayer around these altars or there at your pew. But let's find your place.